Kids, you're dismissed for Children's Church. Donna? Well, I had a week's vacation, and it was nice. I did nothing. Well, I didn't. I actually astounded Ed and Kevin. And David's going to drop his coffee cup when he hears. I cleaned my car. Actually, Don cleaned it. I helped. It's on the inside. The outside still needs to be washed, but Kevin's afraid if I take away the dirt, the car will fall apart. But, had a just quiet time. Hung out with Ryan a little bit, took care of the puppies. They're growing. Getting bigger. So, it's good to be back. I only received a couple calls while I was gone. You were very good. So don't anybody feel bad that for those who made calls. It was not a problem. We're going to continue on in our study of 1 Corinthians as we've been. It's going to take us I hope to get it done this year. We only got a couple more chapters left, but we got Thanksgiving coming up next month, and then we got Christmas, so we might be pushing it to get it done this year. But we're going to give it a shot. We're going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. We'll read through verse 17. You want to look up on screen, or if you've got your Bible. And again, I want to encourage you to bring your own Bible. When you bring your own Bible, you can mark in it and write notes. You can put a check mark or a circle, or say, particularly when you see something that you say, I don't think you got that right, Pastor. And you can come up and show me. Instead of trying to say, where was that? You can mark it. We can discuss it. If I'm wrong, well, then you get to preach the next week. No, I do appreciate, I do want you all to really get into the Word. And you're supposed to be reading this yourself weekly. Yeah. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, start with the first verse. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. But I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If, then, I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand you say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. Let's pray. Father, we do come before you and we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to guess what it is your will is. Lord, you've written it down. You've shown us. Lord, you've given us your living word to instruct us each and every day. And it is a living document. Not one that we change, but one that changes us as we read it. Father, we pray that you would change us as we read your word this morning. And as I speak and seek to prophesy, Lord, might you speak through me, and might your people be encouraged and blessed. Might your name be the one lifted up and glorified, your church edified. In your name proclaimed. Father God, I pray right now for your anointing. I pray for your blessing on each person here, each one who hears this message, that we might indeed be blessed by you this day. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and God. Amen. Well, as Paul is attempting to deal with the Corinthian church who has problem after problem, he's trying to deal with yet another problem, spiritual gifts. They were told earlier to seek after spiritual gifts, but these are good things. Well, some people had latched onto a particular gift, the gift of tongues. Now, there are two different types of the gift of tongues. Let's just divert for a moment and do a little Sunday school classroom instruction on that. You have the gift of tongues, which we had evidenced at the day of Pentecost, which is the gift of speaking a foreign language when you don't know that foreign language, that other people do understand. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost, is we had individuals who were speaking and people saying, how does that Galilean know Italian, French? It probably wasn't Italian or French, but whatever. Whatever language, they were speaking languages that they didn't know, that were native to the hearers. And they're saying, he's speaking to me in my native tongue, this foreigner. And they were praising God, and people heard and understood. And so they were edified. The second form of the gift of tongues is that of a prayer language, which is a language not of this earth, but is a language of the heavens, where when one doesn't know what to pray, an utterance comes out which is not intelligible because it's not an earthly language. And we go, I don't know what you said. It sounded cool. Now, we're instructed that we're not to be using tongues, that is, that prayer language, in a group setting, unless there's somebody there who has the gift of interpretation, or unless you have the gift of interpretation. You speak in tongues, then you also say what it was that you, Lord gave you to say. That gift of interpretation is another spiritual gift. The problem that we have here, to go back, is that we had people who were using the second spiritual language, the second gift form of the gift of tongues, which is a prayer language to God, which is meant for private use, unless there's an interpretation. There's some, and people were just, it was what people were hearing. And people who didn't know Jesus weren't encouraged. They weren't blessed. The body wasn't built up. It did, however, draw attention to the person who was praying in the prayer language. So instead of edifying the body, it edified the individual. Now, when I pray privately, I will say, I do quite often use a prayer language. Because sometimes I just don't know what to say, and it's just kind of like praying out of my gut, praying from my heart. And there's times on occasion where I may be praying for somebody else where that occurs. But the whole point there is not to be praying in a group for agreement. See, when we come together and we pray as a group, as the body of Christ, the point isn't for me to preach to you at that time. I'm supposed to preach to you when I tell you I'm preaching to you, not during prayer. When I pray, conversation is supposed to be with God. And the point is for us to agree together in prayer and say amen. Now, if I'm saying something and you can't understand it, how can you say amen? You can't. If you're saying something and I don't know what it is, I can't say amen. Because I have no clue. This was the problem of what was going on in the Corinthian church. And everybody was getting fixated upon that one spiritual gift. Why? Well, unfortunately, I think I can rationalize why. We have no scriptural word that says this is the reason why. This is me. Tongues is something you can fake. I can act like I have the gift of tongues. I can say something nonsensical, just sounds, and say, that was tongues. And most of you would have no ability to say yes or no. Some of you may have the gift, the spiritual gift of discernment, and be able to say, no, that wasn't. And God has blessed me with some spiritual discernment, and there's occasions when I hear somebody praying in tongues or something like that, I go, oh no. They're just up there trying to draw attention to themselves. And I believe, this is me speaking here, I believe that's what was going on in Corinth. That's what the scripture seems to hint at. It's a hint. We certainly have that kind of thing happen in the church today. Some people want to make a lot about themselves, put themselves up front. But let's just look at verse 1 of 14. What does it say? It says, follow the way of love. Stop! Altogether now, love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. Follow the way of love. Okay, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So if I'm being selfless when I'm following the way of love, if I'm being loyal, if I'm more concerned about what's going about you than I am about me when I'm seeking spiritual gifts, then tongues isn't what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that's going to help you. Not me. Tongues is great. Tongues is wonderful. I'm not knocking the gifts of tongue, and neither is Paul in his proper place. It's a gift that God gave us because sometimes you need to preach the Word of God and the person across from you you don't know their language, and He supernaturally gives you that language. That's one form of the gift of tongues. Sometimes you need to pray something, and you just don't have the words to express it. God gives you prayer language to express that. Your spirit, your heart. But your mind's not so much engaged there. You don't know what was going on, but you know it needed to go. That's what tongues is meant to be. Unless there is somebody there who has the gift of interpretation. Now, the gift of interpretation is not, however, a common gift. How many here have the gift of interpretation? If you do, please raise your hand. I'm not seeing anybody raising their hand. I do know people who have that gift. I have seen it. It does. God still does use it. I have seen people stand up and pray, speak in the prayer language, and have somebody else stand up and interpret that. Now, as I said, the Lord has blessed me with some spiritual discernment. Not always can I tell what's going on, but sometimes I can. And on some instances, I've been able to say, yes, that's what that person said. It resonated that, yes, that was exactly what was said. Sometimes I said, no, what we got going on here isn't real interpretation. Those have not been instances where I've been the pastor. That had, I would have to do something. Because it's my job to see that our services here are done in an orderly fashion along with the elders. This is what we're supposed to do. And this is what Paul's trying to do with the church, is speaking to the church. You need to be seeking out gifts that build the body. Prophesy. What is prophecy? A lot of us tend to think about the narrow type of prophecy, which says, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in 10 days. You know, you're going to meet somebody and they're going to say this or that. And that's what our minds tend to focus on when we think of prophesy. You know, a fortune teller type of thing. There's a little of that. But really what prophecy really and truly is speaking forth on God's behalf. What are we speaking forth? God's Word. You speak forth God's Word on God's behalf. Because when I'm speaking God's Word, am I speaking it on my behalf? No, I'm speaking it for Him. Why? Because He gave me the command to go forth and speak it. Guess what? When you share God's Word, you prophesy. When you share God's Word, you prophesy. When I stand up here in the pulpit and preach, it is a form of prophecy. What I'm doing is speaking forth God's Word. To give instruction. I may even be speaking forth and declaring something that's yet to come to pass. And so might you. Jesus is going to come and you're going to face judgment one day is prophecy. Well, how did you get to prophecy? Well, I got it out of the Scripture. Sometimes God speaks it directly into the word of a prophet, into the heart and the mind and the mouth of a prophet. See, I didn't say I was a prophet. I said I was prophesying. Difference. Yes, he is. That is a question. And we each need to be asking ourselves, am I seeking after the gifts that will build up the church? Or am I seeking after gifts for the building up of Bruce? Or George? Or Ed? Or Donna? Etc. We each asking ourselves, who And what purpose am I seeking to build up to get? For what purpose am I seeking the gifts? Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So if we're doing it in the way of love, we're supposed to be doing it not for our purpose. God gives us spiritual gifts. I've already gone over this part. For what reason? For the church. For the blessing of the body of Christ. It's not for the blessing of Bruce that I have been given some spiritual gifts. It's for the blessing of Northbrook. You. And those others whom I meet and have opportunity to minister to. Like Butch's roommate. Rachel's going, "Pastor, that guy wants prayer." So Rachel's got that gift of evangelism kind of thing. She's like this. She always wants to go talk to somebody or say something. She likes to sick me on people too. Go get them. I'm not an attack dog. Preaching, praying is not attack. It's blessing. But now we each are supposed to be eagerly seeking the spiritual gifts and try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. That's why Gifts That Build is this week's title. Prophecy builds. Speaking in tongues doesn't edify the church, doesn't build the body of Christ. Unless it is accompanied with interpretation. And if you don't know if there's an interpretation, then you need to hold back. Because the gifts are under our control. If the Lord has told you there will be an interpretation, step forth in faith and trust that the Lord will either give you the interpretation or will give it to somebody else. Don't be afraid of using the gifts that the Lord has given you. Just use them appropriately. The Corinthian church was using them inappropriately to build themselves up, to stand up in front of others and say, "Hey, look, I have been spiritually gifted." Again, I believe some people were so much enamored of this that they wanted to look at it, that they faked it. They didn't have it. Paul said, "I hope everybody has it, but not everybody does." Seemed to be the impression I get. Does everybody speak in tongues, he says? No. So, we need to be praying. Not just in the spirit when we pray, but with our minds also. That's the other thing that Paul was short here, is that we're not to disengage our minds. We're supposed to be actively coming before the Lord with all of our intellect. Not just our heart, but our mind. Not just our spirit, but our mind. Say, "Lord, what is it you want me to do? Lord, let me pray with as much intelligence as I've got. Might I bring before you my best understanding and lay it before you. And when I bring it before a group, before you in a group, might those around me come and agree with me in that prayer. Might they have understanding of what it is I'm laying before you so that they too can come alongside and say, 'Yes.'" Phyllis asked for prayer for her grandson, Brandon. Angel asked for prayer for her son, Brandon. When those requests for prayer went out, if all you had heard was some unintelligible syllables, what would you have done? You wouldn't have prayed. But because you heard the need and you understood what was at stake, you went before God with this need for Brandon and said, "Lord, be with him. Keep him safe." So far, so good. God has listened and answered our prayers. Not just Phyllis's, not just Angel's, but our prayer. Why? Because we prayed together. Because we pray with our minds. That's the way we're supposed to come together as the body. To lift one another up, to encourage us, to build us all as one. Pray so that the body can agree and say amen. That's what he means, so be it. Or it's an alliteration of a Hebrew that meant, you know, that this is certain, it's sure, it's valid. We're saying, this is what it is. This is what we want. Lord, we're bringing it to you. And sometimes the Lord says, yes. Sometimes the Lord says, no. Sometimes the Lord says, in my time. But he does answer each and every prayer. But we as the body are meant to come together. Where he says, where two or three of you are together, I am in your midst. Now, we're not together if we're each doing our own thing. We're together when we agree. We're one, we're unified. We're going to build the church, not build ourselves. What gifts has God given you? Are you using them to build the church? Or are you using them to build it up yourself? That's the important part. Seek to build the church. Don't seek to build up yourself. This is Paul's direction to the church in Corinth, and it's my direction to us here this morning, this afternoon. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a way to speak to you when we have no way to say the words. But Lord, you have also given us the means to build up the church, to encourage one another. You have given us gifts like prophecy, where we can share your word. We can speak forth your word, and lives can be changed. Lord, help us to agree with one another as we pray. Might we pray intelligibly and intelligently through your blessings. Be with us, Lord. Might we, each one, grow in the gifts you've given us. And might our growth be for the purpose of blessing the body more so than it is for the building of the individual. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close.